This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast that is changing the way people think all around the globe, and that is Thoughts Become Things with Jeremy Lopez. Hey, guys and gals, today I want to talk to you guys about something that really is has really been burning on my heart for a long time, and that is how to change your life. How to change your life. How simple of a title is that? How to change your life. And I want to start off by, first of all, talking and acknowledging, basically, let's just face it, folks, how we all think globally. You know, whether we're Christian, not Christian, atheist, Buddhist, just really don't care. The truth of the matter is, how you think about your life really is how your life is going to turn out to be. Plain and simple, right? So therefore, how we think about ourselves, how we think about other people, how we think about our job situation, how we think what we feel as if we deserve, how we think about how we feel things we don't deserve. You know, the power of thought is truly very powerful. You know, I like to use a scripture because the Bible is just, it's amazing, and it's God's Word. And one of the things that I really love about the scripture, it talks about, first of all, my favorite verse, and that is, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, come on, folks. We have built sermon after sermon, teaching after teaching, talk after talk on this one verse alone. People from all over the world has really grabbed a hold. They've grabbed a hold of the fact that, you know what, I can truly change my life with the way that I think, correct? So if we really think about that, then we have to understand that, you know, what is it about the way we think? I mean, let's just face it, folks. Is the way I think really good, or is the way I think very bad? Well, ask yourself the question. How is it that you're thinking right now? Now, if you really want to change your life forever, and I mean literally forever, in the sense of from now until eternity, you have to sort of take a look at how you're thinking and know how to change your thinking. So let's examine, for example, the thinking process. And that is, you know, when we wake up in the morning, my thinking kicks in to basically let me know what I want, what I desire. Man, I gotta have that coffee, you know? Or some people might wake up and say, yuck, I don't want coffee. That's not my fix. Other people might wake up and say, man, coffee is my fix. I have to have my fix before I start off the day. Some people think, for example, man, I'm gonna start off my day praying. I'm gonna pray, ask God to bless my day and just give this day to Him. And that's a great way to think, because we should. Another way of thinking for some people might be, man, don't bother me. Don't disturb me in the morning. I love God. I don't like God. I don't like my job or whatever. But basically, just don't disturb me. I'm not a morning person. So you can go through and analyze everything about every thought that we think throughout the day and how we carry that out. So if you really stop to look at your life, you have to think, then who actually created these formulas and the things we don't like and like? Who did that? Well, here's the key thing. Wasn't God. Now, think about that. Wasn't God? God didn't put it in your mind that you have to have coffee as a fix. God didn't put it in your mind to say, man, you're not a morning person, thus saith the Lord. No. You know, you chose. Now, and this is a very powerful word. Because even in the Bible where it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Think about that powerful verse, that powerful statement. Choose you this day. Now, let's just stop for a moment on that area. Choose you this day. Okay, choose you this day what? Now, the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But the truth of the matter is, if we just stop at choose you this day, think about the power in those few words. Choose you this day how to think. Choose you this day how to eat. Choose you this day if you want to either be a morning person or not be a morning person. Choose you this day that you can't live without your coffee. Choose you this day. You see what I'm saying? We choose every day, all day long, how to think, what to think, and we choose what we don't like to eat and what we do like to eat. Now, granted the fact, my friends and my family sort of make fun of me because I can't stand tomatoes. Like, I just cannot stand tomatoes. But I love ketchup. And my family and friends are always saying, I don't understand, you know, how do you like ketchup and how can you not stand tomatoes but you love ketchup? You know, and I say, because it's not the same. You know, ketchup adds a lot of sugar and ketchup is truly, it's not really tomatoes. And so if you think about it, it does taste differently. Everybody knows that. It's not the same. If it was the same, then when you had French fries, you would just throw some tomatoes on there, but you know it's not the same. And so I don't like tomatoes, but if you were to ask me, for example, well, then did you choose not to like tomatoes? I would say, absolutely, I chose it. Now, if I really want to get technical, I could say, oh gosh, no, I didn't choose that. My taste bud said, yuck, no way, Jose. But the truth is, folks, I chose not to like tomatoes because they were not tasting to my taste buds. And so everybody has a certain flavor, a certain taste, a certain sound, a certain smell that they love and the things that they don't love. So when we say choose you this day or choose you this day of whom you will serve or what you like or what you're going to eat, the truth of the matter is, folks, that we did make these decisions. I chose not to like tomatoes because for me, they were not tasty to my taste buds. My taste buds were like, no way, Jose. And so because of that, I still made the choice and the decision. They cause my mind to react to the taste of a tomato. My mind chose through a thought to say, I am going to establish this through a style of your life that you do not like tomatoes. And it's interesting enough that even as we grow older, what happens? We grow older, sometimes we grow out of those things. Now, for me, I've never grown out of it. I've never liked tomatoes. I'm true to my word, folks. You know, I'm not a politician where I change my mind on this issue. I have never liked tomatoes, and I've given them a shot. I've given them a chance, you know, time and time again, but I just go back to that yuck feeling and yuck taste in my mouth. But once again, I chose this, right? So because of that, we have to look at the process of thinking. Everything that you think, you determined of how that thinking process. So now through that, you have to remember that if I empowered myself to choose a thought process of everything that I like versus everything I don't like, of who I want to talk to versus who I don't want to talk to, folks, think of it this way. We have people out there who were trained and raised up all their life. And once again, I'm using this as an example, folks. We've heard people that we've seen it on Oprah. We've seen it on TV shows. Those people who are, you know, white supremacists, you know, who can't stand black people. And you think to yourself, you know what? You chose that, correct? They chose to be ignorant. They chose to think that their race is better, which is total lie from hell. You know, they chose this. And it's also according to their perception of how they were raised. Their parents might have been racist, or maybe they were raised in a very rural backwoods point of view where they just never wanted to change and evolve into expanding of loving people beyond their own color, race, or gender. So because of that, guess what? We have to understand that you chose that. You know, you don't find a racist, you know, that says, oh man, I was born this way. It's in my blood. I just cannot change. I just can't love other people outside of my gender or my color. We look at them and say, no, you're being an idiot. You can change. And so we have to remember that in order to change our life, we have to change the way we think, because the way we think is not grounded and founded in truth. Are you here? Are you hearing me today? The way we think is not grounded and founded within truth. If it holds anything that does not have an expandedness or an evolving or a renewing process with it, if it renewing and evolving and expanding is not attached to your thoughts, you need to change your thoughts. Are you with me? So anything that holds a limitation, I don't like these people, wrong answer, that's limitation. That's not Christ. I don't like this or that, wrong answer, that's limitation. So whether it's something that maybe Christ is against or Christ is for, or maybe it's something just in the natural that we look at and say, you know what, it's just not pleasing to me, or I don't want to change this about my life, you still have to remember, if it affects people and if it affects situations on your life that you know are life and death, trust me on this, folks, we've all done this, then you will force yourself to change. The Bible says those who hunger and those who thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. So God fills those that are only hungry and thirsty, correct? According to that verse. So why would God mess with people who are not hungry and thirsting after righteousness? Those people who are not hungry for anything, trust me, God won't fill you. So we know that to be a fact from the scriptures. So guess what? Within our own lives, do you think you're going to be filled with a healthy living as far as learning how to be prosperous or learning how to be healthy or learning how to get the best job or learning how to be a better lover to your spouse? Come on, folks, that's reality. How to be more gentle and kind to your neighbor? You know, these are things, folks, that we choose today to either do or not do. So the same empowerment that you gave yourself, okay? We don't have time to blame mom and dad anymore. We don't have time to blame anyone else. You choose your upbringing in the sense of, now hear me out, folks. You don't choose how you were raised, but you do choose your outcome. You do choose your outcome. Because you have to remember that first of all, we have A, the Holy Spirit who deals with us and woos us to things. Second of all, we have people, let's say 6 or 7 billion people on earth who are surrounding us all the time who actually have a different process or a different way of looking at things. Correct? So because of that, you have television, radio, podcast, hello. You have all these different things in life that are constantly knocking upon the door of your imagination to say, hey, think about this. Hey, you need to set yourself free from this and expand it within this. Anything you have that is limiting you. And so what I tell people is this, examine your thoughts. If you have a limited thought that is keeping you from expanding into anything greater than that is a positive, whether it's love, joy, peace, grace, mercy, money, health, anything that is keeping you from the expandedness of all the good things that God says that no good thing will He withhold from us, then you have to say, you know what? I need to let that thought go. I need to let that paradigm break. I need to make a shift in consciousness. All that word means is change your mind. That's all it means, folks. And so because of that, I choose today to let go of my limitations and move into the unlimited of God. The unlimited where I can be able to see past my own failures and mistakes, my own limitations, my own begging God, please God, give me another job. Please God, give me more money. And yet my mindset says something totally different. See, if your mindset is constantly telling you something totally different than what you're praying, and sometimes people are not aware that they're even doing that. That's what we call being double-minded. Unstable in all your ways, the Bible says. Which means you can't pray, God, give me more money. God, I'm begging you, give me more money. God, I'm begging you, give me a new job. And you sit back and do nothing about it. Because your thought is, the limitation of your thought is saying to yourself, I'm not wise, I'm not smart enough, I'm not bright enough, so therefore I'm not going to go out and get another job because I just know that I'm not qualified enough to do this. I know I can't do this, I can't get more money. Why can't you get more money? Because of the simple fact that I just don't feel like I'm good at doing anything else. But I will turn around and I will beg God to give me more money. And I'll beg God to give me another job. Because you're double-minded. If God says that He gives and fulfills those who are hungry and thirsting, then there's got to be a desperation in you, not from you're desperate, but a desperation from you wanting to change the way you think about yourself and change how your atmosphere needs to change because you are changing. Your atmosphere, folks, let me tell you something, that you are involved in will not change until your mindset changes. And then whatever is in a man comes out of a man. So if you want to change the outer part of your life, you have to first of all change the inner part of your existence, of your beingness. And when you begin to change your beingness, then guess what? Your externalness will begin to change. Are you with me? And so you have to remember, if I want to change my life, I have to go back to basics. I have to go back to the main foundation that I'm grounded in, and that is, how am I thinking about this or that situation? How am I viewing this or that, problem? How am I viewing to get the solution? Can I get the solution? Absolutely I can. Or can I not get the solution, but turn around and beg God to give me the solution, to where when God does not give me the solution or the answer that I'm looking for, then I will turn around and get either mad at God, get upset with God. Why God? Why God? Why God? How come you're not answering my problem? How come you're not answering my request? How come you're not dealing with this situation? Folks, let me tell you something. As a life coach, I deal with this on a day-to-day basis with people all around the globe. I deal with people who have an issue because they're begging God And through their begging God, they're thinking another way. You cannot beg God for another job, another car, another home, another, you know, or another wife, or maybe the first wife, you know, or a husband, or anything. You can't do that if you're sitting here thinking to yourself, but I know I'm not qualified enough to get the best looking girl. I'm not qualified enough. I don't look pretty enough to get the best guy. I'm not educated enough to actually get a better job. I'm not bright enough. I can't see myself driving a nicer car. Instead, I'd rather take the train every day. Because see, and you might say, why? Why would you ask, you know, tell yourself this? Because my thinking is I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough, bright enough, smart enough, pretty enough. I'm too overweight. I don't have enough weight on me. And no matter what it is your limitation saying, folks, God cannot and will not break through the way you think, because He does not break through a double-minded mentality. It's what we call basically being hypocritical. And that is basically, you know, doing one thing and thinking another way. I mean, and living another way. You can't do that. You have to look at yourself and say, and you know, what is it about me that's stopping me from doing this or that? And don't pawn it off on God. Folks, the number one thing that people do not understand is don't beg God for anything. You're not called to beg God. You're called to come and reason with Him. Hello. That's what the scripture says. Come and reason with me. That means I'm going to come with my desire and my mindset that is flexible enough to change, that is in the process of evolving and changing. I'm going to bring that before God and says, God, here's some of my desires. Here's some things I really want to see happen. What do you think about that, God? Is there something there that maybe you think that I might could change or might can be, is if that's flexible, we can sort of expand on or cut away or chip away? You know, it's the Michelangelo mentality. Some things need to be cut away and chipped away because you're trying to create a dynamic, powerful sculpture that's going to be known throughout history. So because of that, you've got to begin to understand picture, sculptures, artwork, anything that these artists begin to bring to life that's known for years and hundreds of years, for example, like the Mona Lisa. I mean, we see all these different things begin to last throughout decades and generations because they had a thought in their mind that was unlimited, that says, I'm going to create something that I've never seen before with my natural eyes. I'm going to create something from the imagination. Well, God, that's how God really works, in the sense of bringing forth something to God from the powerful imagination of unlimitedness that you have and possess, and coming as a co-creator and say, God, let's work together. I need, you know what I need in my life, and this is what I'm going to present to you, because I've been working, God. I've been thinking, I've been creating in my mind, and I've been moving to the mind of Christ. So here's what I want to present to you. What do you think, God? Let's work together on this thing. That's how God works. God doesn't work on your false humility of you begging and pleading, God, can you see how poor I am, God? Can you see how wretched I am, God? Can you see? And you want God. What you're doing is you're expecting God to say, God, love them. Poor baby. They've had enough. Let me just go and sprinkle some pixie dust on them and help them through their day, because God, love them. They present to me a sob story. God never said present him a sob story. He says, bring your petition. Make your petition made known to Him. You gotta change your thinking. You can ask God for something, and yet your thinking is telling you something else. If your thinking is telling you that something that tears down your identity and shaves off, for lack of a better word, it shaves off your confident level, in the sense of knowing that you are capable of doing anything and everything in life, then guess what? God's not going to answer your prayer. Because God wants you to be able to see through His eyes and see through the unlimited without viewing through the limitations. Because the carnal mind of man, what the Bible says, is God's enemy. And all that means, it's not like God's fighting your mind to say, I'm going to get you, mind, I'm going to get you. No, what He's saying though is, your mindsets are stopping me from working in your life because you're thinking one way and you're expecting me to do something totally different. And I'm not going to go against the way you think, because the way you think is something you created. So even if we create something within our consciousness or within our mindset, God is not going to break through there. He even says within His Word, He says, to renew the mind. God never says, I'm going to destroy your thoughts. No, He never says that. Never. He says, you cast down vain imagination. In other words, you cast down vain thoughts. You cast down those limited, ignorant, stupid thoughts, for lack of better words, that you created. See, you have to come to the first realization, and that is, I created my ignorance. I created my stupidity. I created this limitation. I created this thought that is a paradigm that keeps me from moving forward. I created it. So if you create it, then you have to renew your mind by destroying it and thinking outside the box for change and thinking and seeing yourself outside the box. And then all of a sudden, you will begin to see your prayers answered. I'll give you a short, brief thing before we close, and that is this. It's like someone saying, God, send me a spouse. God, send me a spouse. God, send me a spouse. And the person is sitting home, and all they do is go to church. You know, maybe on Sundays or Wednesday nights, or maybe they go to church 24/7. And they're begging God for a spouse. A, first of all, God is not going to bring a spouse to your door, knock on your door and say, hey, here I am, would you marry me? God is not going to send somebody to the door and say, I don't know why, I'm at your doorstep, I don't know why I'm even brought here, but I'm looking for a wife. Hey, that's interesting, I'm looking for a husband. So, hey, why don't we decide to get married? No. Folks, you've got to put works behind your faith. Now, when I say works, because the Bible makes it plain, it's not about works, as any man should boast. What we're talking about is works of action. Put action behind your faith, the Bible says, which means you've got to get up and do something. The people I've talked to throughout the years that says, I'll never do online dating. I'll never go out with my friends to a restaurant, to just enjoy, getting a dinner or whatever. I don't walk around the shopping mall. I don't do this. I don't go to Starbucks. Whatever your situation is, then how on earth do you expect God to bring an alignment of your husband or your wife if you are not aligning with creation, with public, with people? Hello. And see, those who are afraid to align, it should automatically be a warning sign, a caution sign to you, my thinking is not correct. So don't blame God. And whatever you do, don't automatically go back to that old doctrine of, I'm just waiting on God. Let me tell you something, folks. There is a situation where we do wait on God. Absolutely. But most of the time, all the time, there's a green light and you should wait on God to bring the stoplight. Not the other way around. I teach this all the time. I have for years. Most people are looking for the green light when they're always at the stoplight. No, no. You look for the stoplight because you're always on the green. You're called to go from glory to glory. It didn't say start and stop. I'll tell you when to go next level of glory. No. It says you run the race. You fight the good fight of faith. You run and not grow weary. You walk and shall not grow faint. So God's telling you, get off your lazy rear end and start doing something. Do something that is going to open up the airwaves for me to be able to align your mate, your job, your whatever it is you're looking for to meet you. You've got to meet him halfway, folks. Come on. Because God is not a Santa Claus where he just drops it under the Christmas tree every Christmas. No, God is a God that puts you to work because he wants you to be the best you can possibly be, to exercise your faith, to go through an experience of life with ups, downs, trials, and tribulations that you can learn from him, see through things, and keep on trucking. That's the key thing. Keep on trucking, folks, okay? And when you change the way you're thinking about your everyday existence and you change what you feel as if you don't deserve to what I do deserve, not because I'm God's favorite, but I do deserve this because I feel like I'm doing what I feel like God wants me to do in my life, and I'm a good person. And when you do that, guess what? Things are going to start coming to you and be attracted to you. But nothing's going to be attracted to you. It's like I said in my financial school, and that is this, and we'll close in this podcast, is if you're always talking bad about money, you're never going to have money. If money was like a friend and you had a friend around and you said, you're no good, you're horrible, you're evil, you destroy people. Now, trust me, folks, would you hang around that friend if they did it? If you did, you're an idiot. Because if you're going to hang around somebody that constantly abuses you verbally, then something's majorly wrong with you. Okay? Come on. And yet, when you see life to say, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, which means when you love it, you put your heart, your soul, your strength, your confidence in money, then you know what? You've got another idol there. You've created another idol. But when you realize, you know what? The Bible says money, the Bible says this. Many people don't even realize this is a scripture. The Bible says money answers all things. That means in this life, you need money to buy things. That's what all that basically means. And so if you're constantly pushing away your friend, I didn't say lover. When you're constantly pushing away your friend called money that you know you need in this life, and you say to yourself, God's all I need, then you know what? Then you're throwing out half the scriptures. Because God is a God of prosperity, and God's a God of health, and God's a God of breakthrough, and God's a God of love, and God's a God of mercy. You can't throw away an attribute or a persona of God and then claim to love God. No, no, no. You have to befriend the things you need and realize I basically am not saying I need this to be whole, but I need this in my life because I know that money answers all things. Then you'll begin to see where money will be attracted to you because nothing in creation is going to come to you when you abuse it. Hello. When you verbally abuse anything that God wills for you to have, it'll never draw to you. That's good enough to tweet. So many of you need to tweet that. And so you've got to realize you cannot destroy or verbally abuse things that God wants you to have. It will never come to you if you don't. So change the way you think and your life will change completely. And especially moving from and questioning, is this a limited thought? Is this thought helping me out? Or do I need to expand into a greater awareness of through the mind of Christ of what this could look like and will expand more love, grace, joy, peace, comfort, prosperity, health, abundance? And if it does, you know what? You're on the right path. All right? So I also want to just close with this as well. I want to encourage all of you. I just launched my brand new course. It has taken the world by storm. Trust me. We are selling so many of these a day. It's my brand new course. You can get it as a digital download. It's called School of Creating, Attracting, and Manifesting. School of Creating, Attracting, and Manifesting. You can find it on identitynetwork.net. You can download the whole school. It's going to give you a lot of teachings, hours and hours of teachings that will break down those three. Plus, it'll also include an ebook of mine on the subjects as well. This will help each one of you how to begin to create and co-create with God and how to attract into your life the things in which you know God has said in His Word that you can attract, that you need in this life. You know, if He says no good thing will I withhold from you, that doesn't mean God guarantees you He's going to give it to you. He's saying, I'm not going to hold it from you, but your mindset will keep me from actually giving it to you. I can release it to you, but your mindset can have the door closed not to receive it. So I want you to begin to get this course today, and it'll change your life forever. Go to identitynetwork.net, download the course, purchase it, and it'll change your life. Or you can call the office today, 205-362-7133, and just say, I want to order School of Creating, Attracting, and Manifesting. And let me also tell you this before we close this podcast. Remember this one thing. When you say, I just can't afford this right now, no, here's the idea you should say. I cannot afford not to get it. Because you have to remember, God gives us keys in this life, and keys unlock the things that we can't seem to overcome. If you've got an issue with something you can't overcome, get the keys of knowledge, because knowledge is power, and it will actually transform you, change the way you think, and you can see this abundance of life, of everything God has in God's kingdom, whether it's naturally or spiritually, to be attracted to your life and come into your life. But sometimes our mindsets keep us blocked from receiving. I want your receiver to receive today. Order that course today, and I guarantee it'll change your life. Until our next podcast, folks, go today and create, and go today and change the way you think. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.